Good morning. Great to see you. What makes you happy today? You're singing, "I'm happy today." And so we're singing and we're praying and we're sharing and we just have a lot to be thankful for. But what makes you happy? I'm going to guess, Peyton, what makes you happy is winning a football game. I don't know that, but I'm guessing. What makes some of you students happy is you're finally getting to college after thinking about it for a long time. And I'd like to congratulate the new students at Freed Hardeman for your decisions. We have perhaps students that are going to other places, and our prayer is you will be happy in your endeavors in life. There are people in this room that have gotten a new job, and you're happy, and you're moving from one place to another. We're happy today to have some new families, and we're thankful for that. We're happy about a number of things. So, what makes you happy? I remember thinking I was going to win and lose. Not very happy. I've been thinking I was going to get something and didn't get it. Not so happy. I've been thinking I was going to get to go somewhere and I didn't get to go. There have been a lot of those occasions that make me sad. But every one of us, doesn't matter who you are, got a lot of reason to be happy if we are children of God. That's the focus of today, about being happy. I've talked to some folks this morning who are struggling with illness, and it's not easy. It's not fun. It's not something that we generally think we should rejoice about, but boy, we're going to learn today. God says, rejoice. Rejoice. And so we can be happy even in that. There's likely to be, I mentioned some people that have gotten jobs. It's likely there are some people that have lost jobs. Reason to be happy? Yes. This passage is one of the great, great passages of the Bible. The book of Romans tells us so much about our salvation and about Christianity and what ought to make us happy. We're going to lose a lot in life. This world isn't designed for us to be a winner every day. We're going to run into problems. Jesus even tells us that if we are going to be obedient to Him, we're going to listen to what He has to say, we're going to love Him, we're going to do what He says, we are going to be losers someday in some ways that the world looks at losing. But for those who are in Christ, those who are members of the body of Christ, there's great reason to be happy. In just a few minutes this morning, let me share some things that I want you to think about that we have as great reasons to be happy this morning. You know what I did? I didn't mean to do that right. Now I'm doing it right. We have a great position. A great position. Boy, we have lots of people out here with great positions. I want to tell you, I give thanks every day for the opportunities that I have to serve. I'm thankful for the position that I have to be able to be here with you this morning and share what I hope is an encouraging passage to you to be happy. Our position before God is we are justified. Have you ever made a mistake? Well, I've made some big ones. I have made some big ones, some of them very embarrassing. One of the great blessings in being at a place like Freed Hardeman for a long time and Mid-South Youth Camp for a long time and being blessed to go out to different places and speak, I have met tons of people and made great friends. I remember one time one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. I felt like the biggest loser I've ever felt like. I saw a sweet lady that I loved. She and her husband were such great people to me. They were good to me. I called her by her name. I hugged her and I said, "Tell me about your husband. Where is he?" She said, "You preached his funeral 3 years ago." That's a little embarrassing. So many things happen in life that cause us to feel like losers. But that sweet lady forgave me instantly, talked with me about life and about her husband. And as I began to recall things in my mind, wow, what a great blessing. She made me feel good when I deserve to feel dumb and bad. Isn't that a great blessing for people to treat you like that? We can't even imagine what it's like to be in the presence of God, and every one of us, good and bad today, we're in the presence of God. But for God to look at Roy Sharp and treat me in a way that he has justified me. Hard to understand. It's hard for him to understand with all the sins that I've committed, all the mistakes that I've made. He looks at me and he basically says, I know you haven't been good. I know you've made mistakes. I could even count every one of them. But guess what? I've removed them from your account. You are as though you have never sinned. What a great blessing this morning. If you're a child of God, it doesn't matter what else is wrong in your lives. What matters most is you are prepared to go home to be with God. Justified. God treats us just like we have been righteous without sin all of our lives. You want to have something to rejoice about, you think about that, but it comes about as a result. This passage says, by faith, we are justified. What an unthinkable blessing this morning as we think about our happiness. I'm happy today because I believe God treats me as though I have not sinned. I have no sin credited to my account. Is it because of my goodness? Absolutely not. It is because of the goodness of God. But there's a second thing that I want to encourage you to think about from this passage, and it is what you possess this morning. You possess some great things. Now, I don't know if you, those of you who are new students, if you've got a bunch of new clothes to come, you possess those things and you're proud. You can walk around like you're somebody. You may possess a scholarship of some kind. It may be academic. It may be athletic. It may be some gift that someone gave you. You can walk around. You're as proud as you can be because of what you possess this morning. Nothing you have is going to be more important to you than the possessions that are listed on the screen. This passage teaches us that we have peace with God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember an incident in the fourth grade. I have no idea if Mike Northcutt is still living. You may have heard about my friend Mike Northcutt. We lived up in Ridgely, Tennessee. We were buddies. You know how little guys go out across the playground with their arms around each other? That was us. We played together. We enjoyed life together. And I remember one day, don't remember why, but I remember one day we got in a fight. Boy, I messed up his fist with my nose two or three times. I was hurt. I was hurt emotionally. I was hurt physically. I remember that. I sat kind of at the front of the room on the second row. He sat at the back of the room, about on the second row from the back. And I remember looking at him thinking, I'd like to mash your nose with my fist. And I was so frustrated and angry and hurt. I remember that. Y'all ever had a fight with one of your good buddies? We didn't go across the playground with our arms around each other. We didn't want to be on the same team. We didn't want to go. We'd spend the night with each other at each other's house and play and have a good time. We didn't want to do that. He didn't accept my friendship. That's a hurtful thing. But I remember one day, I don't remember exactly how it happened, but I remember a day when I could look back there and see Mike Northcutt sitting in his seat and think, man, I can't wait until recess. I'll have my arm around him. We're going to go across the playground. We're going to be on the same team. We're going to have a good time because now he accepts me. And it's a peaceful thought. It's a good thought. And when you start thinking about God, can you feature God saying to you what he said to Israel? It's not about my arm being so short I cannot reach you, nor my ear being so heavy I cannot hear you. It's about your sins, and that separates us. Can you imagine James saying to you by the inspiration of God in James chapter 4, if you have friendship with the world, you have enmity with God, you're not at peace. But in Christ, all of that is gone. I can envision my Lord and me, if you'll let me use the silly illustration of going across the playground with our arms around each other, joyous and happy, on the same team, accepting each other fully. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. Not because we haven't sinned, but because of our faith and our trust and our confidence, our obedience, and God's blessed grace. And then we have access. Does it really matter when we pray? We've already said a few prayers today, some in Bible classes, some in our worship together. Does that really make any difference? Is there anything to that? Do we really have access to the throne of God? I was looking at illustrations to think about today, and there was an illustration of a little boy when there was a king in England, and this little boy was standing at the palace, and he asked if he could go talk to the king. He said, absolutely not. You don't just walk in to see the king. And the little boy started crying and begging. And here comes a stranger walking up, and he asks, what's the matter with this little boy? And then he turned to the little boy and says, what's wrong, son? And he starts telling this stranger that he wants to go in and see the king. He said, is that all you want? You really want to go see the king? And the little boy, and he threw his tears, said, yes. He said, take my hand. And he walked, and as he walked by the guards that had rejected the little boy's entrance, they snapped to attention and saluted him as he walked by. This stranger took this little boy right into the throne room and sat him up there and let him talk to the king. The stranger happened to be the Prince of Wales, the son of the king. You and I have access to the king. And that king can lead us to his Father. We have access into the presence of God. What a great blessing to be happy. When we bowed our heads a little while ago, we prayed about things. We prayed about people. We prayed about circumstances. The Father is listening because we have entrance into his presence through his Son. What a great reason to be happy. The third thing is we have assurance. You can have assurance. Some of us are kind of shaky at times in life. We know that we should receive something, but we're so nervous about it until we get it in our hands. The blessing is we have it in our hands today, the assurance that God will bless us. Just a little farther on in the book of Romans in chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore, what's the next word? Somebody tell me. How about now? There is therefore now. It's not about when you get to heaven. It's not about when you die and if you've really been good and if you didn't make some dumb mistake just before you died. It's not about that. It's about right now. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you are a member of the body of Christ this morning, you have assurance. In this passage, Paul talks about the grace in which we stand. It's not about, well, you once stood there, but boy, you've really made some dumb mistakes since, and now you don't stand in that grace any longer. This grace in which we stand, trusting in God, being sure of the salvation that is yours in Christ Jesus. This concept of stand, as you read that, talks about something permanent, something being firmly fixed, and something being immovable. You continue to stand in the grace of Christ, you can be sure. What great possessions we have. And then, what great privileges. I don't really understand. I don't understand all I read about what God talks to us about. I don't like suffering. I was on my way to Jonesboro, Arkansas yesterday to do a funeral of a really good friend. And I get a phone call about Bill Baldy being involved in an accident. I get a text message. I'd just been to visit Joe Jett. I get a text message about him falling and is on his way to the hospital in a very weak condition. I don't understand God saying to me all that he says to me about being able to rejoice, a privilege of rejoicing in the sufferings that come our way. There's some folks in this room today who are suffering, and it's not just about the sermon. It's about physical illness. It's about emotional difficulties. It's about circumstances in life that create hurt and suffering. This passage teaches us that we have the privilege of rejoicing in sufferings. We lose loved ones. We lose jobs. We ache. We hurt. We have relationships that break up and don't work out the way we want them to. In all of those circumstances and any other that you come to in life, you have the ability to rejoice in sufferings. Why is that? Because Paul says you have the ability to know. If you just look at life and the practicality of life, here comes the promise of God that works out in life in a great way. We have the ability to know that through our suffering, we learn to endure. We learn to endure. It works in life. I remember working with my brother building fences, and we would have to move gravel from one place to another to do cement to put post holes up. And I've seen a big pile of gravel that was so big, and trying to move that one shovel full at a time. But you have to keep working. And as you work one shovel full at a time, I got to tell you, I didn't like that. It was suffering to me. I wanted something much easier for me, like shooting a basketball or hitting a baseball. I wanted something that was fun. It wasn't fun. But you learn endurance by the difficulties that you face. And you learn endurance. You can endure. I've told, I don't know how many times, about an older family friend who'd lost her husband. I'd driven up to Ridgely, Tennessee to do the funeral of this man that I love. And when this woman saw me, she ran. She's in her 80s, and she ran. I'm not saying that as any kind of a joke. She ran, grabbed me, and talked to me about her husband's death, and she said these words, "I can't go on." I said these words to her in as loving a way as I could. Yes, you can. You've seen my mom do it. You've seen other people do it. We can go on. Not easily, but you can go on. And so we learn endurance. And when we endure, that develops our character, and we become more of what God wants us to be. In fact, as we go through suffering, and we learn endurance, and that endurance helps us produce a greater character. It gives us hope that we are going to get to the other side of that tunnel. We can see the light. We can see it through the life of Jesus, all of that. And we have the ability to know, Paul said, of the love of God that has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. God has shown us his great love, his great care. He's helped us see these tremendous things that we have available to us in Christ Jesus. Peter wrote these words by the inspiration of God. Though you haven't seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. And rejoice with joy inexpressible and filled with glory. Is that you this morning? You see, if you're a child of God, that ought to be you. If you're not a child of God, you ought to be looking for that joy that can be ours, and nothing in this world can blow that out of our lives. No sorrow, no sadness, no trauma, no hurt, no nothing can take that away from us. It would be hurtful for us not to encourage our family members who were not Christians to become Christians. To encourage our friends that we love to think about repenting of sins and being baptized into Christ, so all of these things can be ours and we can be full of joy every day no matter what. I hope our new students have a great and joyous year. But nothing would make it more joyous than being faithful to God, being found in Him. And so we plan in our worship an opportunity to let you, if you need to come into Christ, repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ. Or if you're a child of God and you've lost that joy, you've lost that hope because of your life, we plan this opportunity for you if you need to make a public response to do just that. It's a beautiful song about your heart. And if you need a clean heart, we hope you'll come as we stand and as we sing.